Hare Krishna. So we are seeing a section from shloka number 6 to 12. Basically, in this particular section, Krishna is talking about how work in devotion or nishkama karma yoga is much better than renunciation or sannyas. And in few shlokas that we saw, finally, Arjuna seems to have a question saying, okay, the person is working in a detached way, but what about the sinful reactions? Will he get sinful reactions? That Krishna is going to answer now in shloka number 10. So let's see that.
Brahmanyadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiyah lipyatena sapapena padmapatram ivambhasa.
So here Krishna is saying, yah, one who sangam tyaktva karoti, the one who performs work with detachment.
Brahmani adaya karmani karmani.
So surrendering all the results, so whatever results he is anyways detached from the work, so whatever results he get, he is offering that as an offering to the Supreme Personality of God and Brahman.
So such a person, lipyate nasa papena,
such a person is unaffected by the sinful action.
And padma patram ivambhasa.
So here Krishna is giving an analogy. He is saying, like the lotus leaf is untouched by the water. A very nice shloka, you know, to discuss and to imbibe in our day-to-day life. So here there is one nice quote from Bhagavad Gita, from chapter 14, shloka 3.
Mama yonir mahat brahma.
So here Krishna is indicating that everything in the material world is a manifestation of Brahman. So see, we have to understand what is Brahman. Brahman means spiritual entity. And here, specially Brahman means the supreme Brahman, that is Krishna. So whenever this word Brahman comes, we shouldn't mistake it, you know, to be a Brahmana, a person having a thread or something like that. So Brahmana is different, Brahman is different. We are talking about Brahman. Brahman means spiritual entities. Soul is called as Brahman. The supreme soul is called as Brahman. And sometimes, you know, even the various material aspects are also called as Brahman. And there is a different context. It will come in Bhagavad Gita in future verses, in future chapters, we'll see there. So here, Brahman basically, in this context, indicates the supreme Brahman, that is Krishna. Everything in the material world is a manifestation of Brahman, and although the effects are differently manifested, they are non-different from the cause. So everything is basically is evolving or coming from the Supreme Brahman, that is Supreme Personality of God, Lord Sri Krishna. And it's very clear, in Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, shloka 8, he says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattas sarva pravartate. He's saying everything is coming from me. So he is the source. He is the source and everything is coming from him. And a very nice shloka from Isha Upanishad. So here the translation is given in the purport, which says,
Isha vasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bhunjita magrida kasya svidanam.
So this is a shloka, the first shloka of Isha Upanishad, which says that everything is related to the Supreme Brahman or Krishna, and thus everything belongs to him only. So who is the supreme proprietor? Who owns everything? Only one person, that is Lord Shri Krishna. So there was a discussion between a king and a minister. So a minister, you know, he went to the king and he said, oh king, you are greater than God also. So the king was very happy. He said, how come? How come I'm greater than God? Can you tell me? So the minister said that, see, you have the power to throw a person who commits an offense out of the kingdom, but God cannot do that. Because entire thing belongs to God. Where will God throw him? So basically the point is that Lord Shri Krishna, he is the proprietor of everything. He is sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes, and he owns everything. Everything means actually everything. So that's what is spoken here very nicely. And one who knows perfectly well that everything belongs to Krishna, that he is the proprietor of everything, and that therefore everything is engaged in service of the Lord, naturally has nothing to do with the results of his activities, whether virtuous or sinful. when someone knows that everything belongs to Krishna, and when he knows if everything belongs to Krishna, what am I supposed to do? Utilize everything in service of Krishna? So when this is understood very nicely, so when he is working for the pleasure of Krishna, giving everything back to Krishna as an offering of love, so he will not be affected by any of the reactions of his work. Even if the work is sinful, doesn't matter. Even if the work is sinful, obviously it is difficult to comprehend as of now. But even if the work is sinful, the person will not get the reactions of it. Why? Because he has a thorough understanding that everything belongs to Krishna, and so he is utilizing everything in service of Krishna. And here it is said that even one's material body being a gift of the Lord for carrying out a particular type of action can be engaged in Krishna consciousness. It is then beyond contamination of sinful reactions, exactly as the lotus leaf, though remaining in the water, is not wet. I'm sure all of us might have seen the lotus flower and the leaf. So leaf is there on the surface of the water and it has got the wax coating on it. As soon as some water comes, did some aquatic animal pushes the water on the leaf, what happens? The water goes on the leaf and again just goes off the leaf. It cannot stay on the leaf and the leaf is not at all affected by the water. Same thing happens with a person who understands that everything belongs to Krishna, Krishna is the proprietor. So when we say everything, means everything, including this body that we have got. This body belongs to Krishna. And when this body belongs to Krishna, we have to engage this body in service of Krishna. And when we engage this body in service of Krishna, what happens? We will become like the lotus leaf in the water. We will be there in this world, in this material world, which is full of material activities and reactions to the same. Still, when a person is fully Krishna conscious, utilizing everything in service of Krishna, he might be there in this world, but then he will not be affected by the reactions of various activities. This is a very, very wonderful point to note. Because in our day-to-day life, whichever activity we are doing, that might give some reactions in return. But then if this understanding is there, that I don't own anything, I'm not owner of anything, and everything belongs to Krishna, and I have to use it in service of Krishna. If this mode comes, and if we start doing it, we'll be freed from all the reactions of all the activities that we're doing in our day-to-day life. The conclusion is that a person without Krishna consciousness acts according to the concept of material body and senses. Very clear. So the person who is not Krishna conscious, who is not a devotee, what he will do, he will just do sense gratification. In fact, he'll act like a thief. Everything belongs to Krishna, but then he'll try to steal that and use it for his own sense gratification. And what will happen to a thief? A thief will be put behind bars, he has to suffer, he'll get punishment. Same thing will happen with a materialist, because he's acting like a thief. But what about a devotee? A person in Krishna consciousness acts according to the knowledge that the body is the property of Krishna and should therefore be engaged in the service of Krishna. So, a thief is like he's going to the bank and then he's stealing from the bank. So what will happen? He'll be put behind bars. But a devotee is like an employee in the bank who is working very, very honestly, very nicely. And then when the salary comes, you know, he's taking. Same thing. He utilizes everything he has in service of Krishna. And whatever Krishna gives him, he accepts it as prasadam. And that prasadam is free from all the reaction. So in this way, we understand very clearly that everything that we have in our life, our body, our family members, the wealth that we have, the opulence that we have, the name, fame, prestige, whatever we have, actually everything belongs to Krishna. Everything. Because he is the source of everything. If he decides, he can just remove everything in no time. It's only by His mercy that we have got all these things. Then it's our duty to use everything in service of Krishna. And this is called bhakti. And here we understand, if everything belongs to Krishna and we have to use it in His service, now tell me, is it bhakti optional or mandatory? Bhakti is not optional, because bhakti is mandatory. Everyone is supposed to utilize whatever they have got in service of Krishna. Basically, it means everyone should do bhakti. If they don't do bhakti, unfortunate situation will come. That is, they'll be stuck in the cycle of birth and death for time immemorial. Don't know when will they break the cycle of birth and death. So the ones who are interested to break the cycle of birth and death, bhakti is mandatory. In fact, bhakti is mandatory for everyone, especially for the ones who wants to break the cycle of birth and death and attain Krishna this very lifetime. Now, after hearing all this, you know, Arjuna might have a question. Okay, Krishna, I understand. Chalo. You are saying that if someone is detached from the work, maybe he has the understanding that he is not the body, he is spirit soul. He has that understanding, so he is detached from the work. So, Krishna, tell me, why is he working? Why is he working then? So, this Krishna is going to answer in the next shloka. So, let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.